in talking about this biomagnetic field that radiates from our body and our heart field and then our brain field, we know that the heart is 5,000 times stronger magnetically than the brain, and we know that the heart is 100 times stronger electronically than the brain. And when I went to listen to a scientist whose name is Greg Braden, and he was talking about this 9-foot field that radiates from the heart, and how when we walk past each other, we can feel whether they're angry or sad or whatever. And the more in tune you are with your own heart, the more in tune you are with others. But that biomagnetic field is always assessing. It's always sending information and receiving. So someone in the group asked, well, why is it only 9 feet out? And he said, because that's as far as we can measure. But actually, it transcends space and time. Mm. So you could actually be 2,000 miles away or further, and something happened to your son, and your heart would know it. It wouldn't know what necessarily, because your ability to communicate from the heart to the brain has been weakened because we haven't exercised it. But if we would exercise it, we could actually, your brain could acquire knowledge from the heart, but most of us don't practice it, so if you don't use it, you lose it, kind of thing. But definitely your heart is where, the Bible says 100% of all the issues of life flow from the heart. It doesn't say the word 100%, but it uses the word all. Now, scientists say that a minimum of 95%. So why do they say a minimum of 95%? Because they're leaving a margin for error, but they're also saying, well, that's where you have knowledge how to tie your shoes. You know, you are going to use your logical brain when you're building a house, for example. But when you're dreaming about building the house, you're not using your logical brain as much as you are your heart. Because your heart is where your desires are going to be. Well, I desire it to be a place where we can gather and have, you know, big family dinners. And so that's going to help determine what size your dining room is, you know, or whatever. But basically what we live out of, and we've not known this, and so we've taught contrary to this, we live out of your feelings, and we teach people don't do that. But it won't work. You can teach people all day long, don't live by what you feel, live by what you believe in your brain. But what we don't understand, and we haven't understood, is the brain is not strong enough to do that. The heart is so much stronger than the brain. So what's the answer? And that's where, what I was talking about earlier, when God took me out of the church for 12 years, the reason he took me out is because I couldn't listen to follow your brain and follow your heart and do it at the same time. Because you're going to pick one over the other. You're going to love one, hate the other, or adhere to one and you know, despise the other. Well, that's because both of them can master over you. The problem is we deceive ourselves into thinking that it's our brain mastering over us, and it's really not. And so when my children grew up and left home, they felt like they couldn't do anything right. And I was like, I was bound and determined I wasn't going to do that to my kids because I felt that way. But yet I did the same thing, and I had different actions. I said different stuff, I did different stuff, and I purposed to make sure that they didn't feel that way, yet it didn't work. And so when I inquired of the Lord, I said, why did that same thing happen to my children that happened to me and Michael? Because in our human nature, we're going to blame and find fault with our parents. Well, our parents were amazing parents, both sets of them. Did they have failures? Of course. What parent doesn't? But yet they were still awesome parents, and they loved us well, and we were awesome parents and loved our kids well. But yet we couldn't stop this feeling of inadequacy. That's because it's not transmitted verbally. It's transmitted through a feeling.
See, I did and, the same thing. I said, that's I will right. not do to my children what my parents did to me. And I did.
And your son is saying this, I'm not going to do to my kids what my parents did to me, and I'm not going to let happen to my children what happened to me. I'm going to change it. The problem is we haven't changed our hearts, which is what you're here for today. Today, and I learned something new recently, within probably about the past 8 months in my studies and in doing this every day. So one of my most difficult obstacles to overcome as I do these sessions with people is to try and get you out of your brain and into your heart. Well, how do I do that? You've been living in your brain according to your own thinking your entire life, and you get good at it, especially men, because men are mechanics and they're engineers, and you have to use that part of your brain to do your everyday function. So now I'm going to say, okay, turn that off. Well, you don't know where the switch is. So I've learned a way to do that. I'm going to explain that to you right now before we get in there, and then we're going to get started like really quick. All I'm going to ask of you, and this will work is I want you to be in your imagination. If I invite you into your imagination and we say, look, I'm going to say things about you that are not true. I'm going to pretend. Like I might pretend that you are 2 years old and 35 years old at the same time. And I'll say, pick up your two-year-old self and hold your two-year-old self and we're going to have a conversation between the two of you. Well, we know that physiologically you can't do that. But it doesn't matter because if I say we're going to pretend, your logical brain goes, oh, we're pretending? Okay. And you'll get out of your logic and you'll go right into your pretending. Well, guess what you pretend in your heart? You pretend in a different part of you than you fix your car. You don't go, I'm pretending I'm fixing my car. No, you fix it. I'm pretending I'm changing my oil. But if we were going to pretend we were going to change oil of a cucumber, you could do that and cucumber, you don't even have an engine. But you could pretend that it does. And it would still work. So the Bible says in Romans chapter 1 that in our imagination, we've corrupted the truth about God and the glory of God. We've corrupted the truth and the glory. And we've done that in our imagination. So I was like, oh my goodness, that's what I'm doing. So now I just invite the men and the women into your imagination. Let's just pretend. And it doesn't matter if I'm biblically accurate when I pretend because it's a parable. It's not like, in other words, if I pretend something, you go, well, that didn't really happen to me. It don't matter. Your brain won't care. Your logical brain will not care if we pretend something, as long as I tell it we're pretending. If I don't tell it we're pretending, it's going to go, wait a minute, reject. So if we just agree to pretend, what I'm going to do is I'm going to say what I hear and I'm going to say what I see. And I'm constantly listening for your heart, and I'm constantly listening for the Holy Spirit to explain to me how to heal your heart. That's what I'm doing. So I'm only going to say what I hear the Holy Spirit say. If my brain jumps in the way and my own imagination gets there and I say that, God is big enough to handle it. In other words, my imagination's not big enough to like mess God up in the moment, right? So if I said fish and God really said gold coin, just say fish and God will take the gold coin out. So God knows our heart. He's judging the intent of our heart. So our heart's desire is to see the little boy's heart inside of you, the little boy's heart inside of your dad, and to merge those two hearts through emotion so that each of you can understand each other emotionally. When you do that, we're then going to say, Father, show us where that heart is one with you, Heavenly Father. We merge that simply by imagining. Then we ask Jesus the same question. We might ask the Holy Spirit the same question. So then what happens is all of the hearts begin to be one, even as Jesus prayed. Father, I pray that they would be one in each other, even as you and I are one. They'd be one in us, and they'd be one as a people that same way. So what Jesus was saying is, he's saying, Father, thank you that me and you are one. Would you make these people one with me and you? And then in addition to making them one with me and you, would you make them one in each other the same way? That is a very, very powerful prayer if you pay attention to what he's asking. He's saying that me and you can be the same oneness that I am with God. That's crazy, but amazing. So that's what we're doing when we're in the session. But if I try to do that with your logical brain can't calculate it because your logical brain needs height, depth, width, breadth, and weight. It needs measurement. Well, the kingdom of God is in your heart, and it says eternity is in the heart of a man. It says that in Ecclesiastes. Well, guess what eternity don't have? Measurement. It's infinite. So in your imagination, guess what you can do? You can be infinite. You can be in all places at the same time. So that's what we're going to do, is we're going to work in the imagination so that we can wake up your heart and heal the heart where your heart doesn't feel loved, where it doesn't feel accepted, where it doesn't feel important, where it does feel devalued, rejected, betrayed, abandoned, or inadequate. One of the number one feelings that men suffer with is fear of rejection and fear of failure, which comes through fear of inadequacy. So when we heal that in your logic, I mean in your emotions, your logic, it won't matter. It won't matter even if you fail in doing something. Your heart will go, now we know what not to do. Your brain will go, well, that was stupid. Why'd you do that? And your heart goes, well, now I know what not to do. So your heart will be excited about it, and the heart's way stronger than the brain. And the heart will go, well, let's dream of something else. Let's have a brainstorm. Let's have a bunch of ideas. Now, something that's very important to understand about the neural network in your brain is it's not just in your brain. It's actually in your brain and in your heart. You have neurons and neurites in your heart. So you hold memory, you hold thought, and you have emotion in your heart. And that emotion is what makes it so powerful, because that's the part you can't measure. You can't give me 2 ounces of kindness. Kindness and patience is not measurable. If you're patient and it runs out, it's because that wasn't patience. It was a form of it. Because true patience never runs dry. It's infinite. Because that's God in you, not you being patient in you. It's God manifesting patience through you. So when we work in your heart and we heal those things, what's going to happen is that's going to change your entire endocrinology, because that's where it's connected. Those neurons and neurites are in both places. When you wonder about something, so let's just say we heal the fear of failure in your heart. Still going to be in your brain. Brain's going to have fear of failure, but your heart won't. What's going to happen is you're going to begin to wonder, well, I wonder what I did wrong. I wonder how I could change this. Simply by wondering, you're actually going to create a new neonet. Because when you wonder, you're outside your logic. You're looking for something that's not there. If it was there, you'd be there and you'd find it. But if it's outside your logic, your brain's going to create new neurons and neurites that acts like a capacity, like a cup or a tank or an antenna. And if you wonder something for 72 hours, it will actually create a space to receive the answer. Now, when your brain creates a space to receive the answer, it's not going to just create it in your brain. It's going to create it in your heart. That's why he says, keep asking, keep knocking, keep seeking. Because if you do it for about 72 hours, and if you do it with heightened state of emotion, like anger or frustration, we think that's bad, right? No. Just submit it to the Lord and wonder why you're angry. That will create it faster than 72 hours. Once you create the capacity to receive the answer, truth is omnipresent. But even if truth is in this room right now, omnipresent, if you don't have a capacity to receive it, it won't get in. But if you create the capacity to receive it simply by wondering, now you can get the answer. That's why God's telling you, ask, keep asking, knock, keep knocking, seek, keep seeking. Because that act of doing that creates the capacity in your heart / brain to receive the answer that God already has here for you. So when you leave here, things are going to be different. I had a lady that left here yesterday. She said, now what do I do? I said, you couldn't do anything before you got here. What makes you think you could do something tomorrow? If you could have done it, you would have done it already. You know, you're 40-something years old. You're not lacking in intelligence. Yeah. So what you're going to do is you're going to not do it, and you're going to wait for God to manifest it through you, just like fear has been manifested through you. You were afraid of failure, and guess what? You did it. You failed really well. Why? Because you were afraid of it. That's why that which you fear shall overtake you. But when the fear is healed and you feel loved and you feel adequate because God created you with his own hands, that's what makes you adequate. You're adequate because God said 5 times, this is good, this is good, this is good, this is good, this is good. But when he made you, he said, this is very good. And when you feel that, that's what you attract to you. That's what you create. Have you read the book Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill? You should read it. Andrew Carnegie hired this man to study all the people in the world that changed the world, that made an impact on the entire world, like Thomas Edison, like Henry Ford. And he found the common denominators, and it's all biblical. It's not really about money. You think it's about money whenever you pick up the book, but Think and Grow Rich. But there's other kinds of richness. Knowing who you are is amazing. But when you don't know who you are, and you've become what you had to become to survive, you're not authentic. You're not the real you. You're the form of you that you had to become so you wouldn't be rejected. That's sad, because we miss out on who you really are when you're doing something simply for the purpose of not being rejected. You miss out on what God created you to be. So you're here to heal the fear in you so that love can be what you feel. And when you feel love, your body believes it. Your entire marrow believes you're loved. And that becomes the underlying foundational frequency that where the rest of your life is now established in. Whereas when you were little, Richard, we talked about earlier, that your underlying foundation is I'm loved when I achieve. If and when I achieve. Which means there's an underlying unspoken statement that says you're not accepted unless. See, that's fear. When that heals, everything else changes. The first time I saw your father, I told him, I said, you will change your children's lives today and they won't even know it. They won't have any consciousness of it. But it will be different from this day forward because your heart will heal and the frequency in your heart is already one with your children. And so on a quantum physics level, your children will be affected by your healing today, just like they were affected by your fears.